Ask the Podcast Coach for July 18th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, there it is. It is Saturday morning. Sunny outside. And we're here surrounded by walls and microphones on Ask the Podcast Coach. You can join us out at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. I'm your host, Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. And joining me, as always, I need a slogan. Fortified. We did this last week. Fortified with, now with more fiber. The one, the only, from theaverageguy.tv, Jim Cullison. How's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning. I did get a round of disc golfing this morning, and then I had my granola when I came in. So, yes, indeed, I do have more fiber. And I hugged a few trees while it was out.
Excellent. Yes, and for those of us, you should explain what disc golf is, formerly known as
Frisbee golf, as it used to be, you know, and there's a whole subculture, and it's getting super popular these days. My oldest son is into it, and so he's kind of dragged me in, and, you know, about $15 a disc. They're like Frisbees, except they're flatter and a little, about as heavy. They just fly a little bit farther, or you can throw them straighter, kind of things like that. But talk about an expensive hobby. I mean, it's not as expensive as golf because you don't pay anything to get on the courses, but with these discs being $10 to $15 to $20 each, you can get them on Amazon. Man, it can stack up. My son's got a caddy and he's got like 20 discs in it.
That's
it. Are you kidding me? There's $150 worth of discs in there.
Absolutely. And then same thing. We're talking hobbies. You know, people always talk about, oh, I'm trying to do podcasting for next to nothing. And I got my bike out because it was actually almost looked like summer for an hour here in Cleveland. And the chain's all rusty. And so I took it down to the bike shop and I go, what's the average, like, just top to bottom tune up go for these days? And they're like $65. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, and I was just like, all right, well, that'll, you know, I didn't know and didn't think it was going to be cheap. Didn't think it was going to be quite that. But I'm like going, OK, I'll drop that to make sure my bike doesn't fall apart. And, you know, and I go falling apart with it. And I was like, there's $65. And yet, you know, some people are like, oh, I don't know, $59 for a microphone.
Can't pay $5 for hosting.
Yeah,
I don't want to get my stats for $5.
Yeah. So we all have our hobbies and they bring joy into our life. And it is a live call-in show, and we'll talk about a fun little technology riffle today that I'm having here. But if you'd like to call in, that number is 347-850-8007. Again, 347-850-8007. We should say today's podcast apparently is brought to you by Boss Jock. I'm actually using my phone today to play the little bumpers and the music and such. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. I fired up my iPod today. iPod. What year is it? 2006?
Yeah.
It's just flat out dead. Like, not a thing on it. I can press and hold down the on-off button. It's weird. And I swear I charged it a couple days ago. I expected it to be low battery today. And usually, after you plug it in for a little bit, you'll get a little, like, a plug-in symbol with... the only thing I can think of is maybe this cable doesn't work and it's really not charging. I'll be talking about that at Podcast Movement, which is how to troubleshoot your podcast. And that's one of the things is isolate stuff. But it's just weird. It's just dead. And I'm like, being that it's been plugged in for about 10 minutes now, I'm thinking either it's the cable or something.
Battery, but maybe battery's gone. How close is the nearest Apple store to you?
About 15 minutes.
No, so not too bad. So you can run that down.
Yeah.
And just go, hey, geniuses.
Yeah, I'll be sitting there probably Sunday. Because today I have a consulting appointment at 12:15, and then I have to run to potentially join a band. I'm like, oh, this is such a bad idea right now.
Is it audition or are you just going to chat with these guys?
My wife sent it to me looking to form a blues rock band, and I'm like, all right. So I emailed the guy and sent him a video of me playing. And
she really wants you back in a band.
She really wants me back. Always has. Because she loves to go out and dance. And so, you know, they're like, yeah, this would be cool. And I'm like, yeah, let's get together and make some noise. And
talk about things that ruin podcasts.
Yeah.
A band, right?
Well, it's just, it's one of those things that, you know, on one hand, it's creative and it's fun. But when you think about how much money you make per gig, because you make maybe $50. The last band I was in, we actually got paid pretty decent. We'd get like $100 a gig. But you practice, you know, once a week for a couple hours. So there's 8 to 10 hours a month. you know, and then you got to lug all your equipment. That's really what you get paid for. And in the end, you know, here's your $50 for 10 hours work. You're like, wait a minute, how's that $5 an hour?
It's like, right.
Yeah. So it's, it'd be fun. I kind of miss it, but I'm getting old and cranky. So I don't want to play music. I don't want to play, and I don't want to deal with buttheads that are drunk and high and, you know, that whole nine. I understand that if it's the bar, I expect someone to come up and go, do you guys know the electric slide? But my last band I was in, the
Freebird.
The singer would drink Jaeger like it was Kool-Aid. And my favorite was he, and this is a guy with like two or three DUIs. He would, like, we would get done and we're like packing things up. So this is like wind down time and he would get one for the road. And I was like, that's, and he just, if you've ever been around alcoholics, they're fun because they will tell you 57 reasons how they know how to handle their liquor and how they know how to handle the police. And I was married to one for a while. And I always said, you're going to get a DUI eventually. And 2 years after we got divorced, she had the golden yellow plate saying, look at me, I'm a, I'm an alcoholic.
Ouch.
Yeah. So that's always fun. But
yeah.
Anywho, so yeah, again, 347-850-8007. We are here every Saturday live at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And I did get this note from the School of Podcasting Facebook group. And it says, so I get this email yesterday from the Society of Canadian Composers about the version of my podcast that I put on Spreaker. Funny thing is, I don't include any music on the Spreaker version. And here's what it says. To whom it may concern, I'm contacting you on behalf of the Society of Composers, Authors, and Music Publishers of Canada, better known as SOCAN. We license access to virtually the world's repertoire of copyrighted protected music for public performance and communication in Canada. It seems that your podcast is available in Canada via Spreaker, but Spreaker does not cover performance and communication licenses. We need to make sure your business acts in accordance with the Copyright Board of Canada's approved, blah, blah, blah. I've also taken a brief look at your official website. Please confirm you have a SOCAN 22F license. Sounds very appropriate. I've attached a copy of the tariff for your information. Can you please tell me who is responsible for remitting and reporting to copyright collectives within your company? Blah, 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 blah. And so the interesting thing is, this is probably something they're sending out to all podcasters. And like he said, he has no music on his podcast. So they're probably just hitting everybody on Spreaker. So I need to get this over to Rob Greenlee to let him know that the Spreaker people are getting fished. Yeah, I agree with Jeff says in the chat room that it sounds like a fishing thing. I said last week I would have an Audio-Technica BP-40. Words cannot express my disdain for both UPS and FedEx because the lady at Audio-Technica read me back my address. And for whatever reason, they lost the suite number. And so what I hate about this is if they had simply, like, there's a big sign when you walk into my building, like, where to go to the office. And it said David Jack, or it said School of Podcasting. And I think it had my name on it, too. But it didn't have my suite number. All they had to do was ask at the office, or, I don't know, look at the big giant board when you walk in that says School of Podcasting, lower level 41. And they didn't deliver it. So I'm like, I called him. I go, well, can I like pick it up on Saturday? And the person on the phone had no clue what I was talking about. They're like, no, we don't deliver on Saturday. I go, I understand that. Is it going to be at a location where I can come pick it up? I'll deliver it to me. And she just, and I was like, never mind. I'll just, you're like, drop it off on Monday. And I'm going to put a sign that, hey, if I'm not here, which I'm not, you know, throw it in the office. And those guys are always really nice. They'll actually, what's cool about this building, they'll drop it off the office and the office will actually bring it down because they have a key. And put it in my office for me. But no, I do not have it. I'm kind of bummed. That was going to be part of Monday's show for the School of Podcasting. And now I'm like, all right, what are we talking about? So that's what it's
fun. Speaking of gear in Amazon, did you partake in Prime Day, which was the 15th, which turned out to be a little underwhelming? I think most people kind of thought, you know, there were some deals out there. Daniel was nice enough to go hunt them down. He must have stayed up very late at night to get all the deals that were out there, and then he posted them and sent them in the newsletter. But I don't know, Dave. I took a peek. There wasn't. They were touting this thing as the greatest thing since Black Friday. And
yeah,
blah, blah, that, and then kind
of yeah. I have this little gizmo. It's one of the things you plug in to charge your phone. And this one's fine, but they make these like super jumbo deluxe ones now. I'm like, you know, that would be cool. That way, if I need to charge my phone and the iPad, go on a podcast movement. And they had one for like $17, normally like 38, something. It was like, you know, 72% off. And I'm like, cool, go to it. Oh, it's on the wait list. It's already been like, they set aside X amount of product to be sold at that price, which I understand in some cases that may be below cost or whatever. But, and then I went looking, I'm like, so I'm starting to like almost buy things just because I'm like, well, I can always use, you know, a new charger cable, and I could always, and finally I just went, you know what? There's, I'm going to potentially buy things and none of this I need. And so I just bailed. And then it was weird because they had it on, like, it was only for a certain time. So I would see another deal and it's like, oh, this will be happening, you know, somewhere in the future. So you have to sit there all day. And I was like, all right, well, this is not Black Friday. And yeah, I agree with Chris in the chat room. Prime Day was basically lame day. I was tempted to get an Echo because I've heard, I know a couple of people, you included, that have one, and everybody's saying they're really, really cool. But
They did have a sale on those. They were down. They were $50 off at one point at $129. I don't know how many they sold, but they sold out really fast of whenever they put out there. And then, so that became available. Yeah, I don't know. I do know right now, though, you know, the 2005, the AT 2005 has jumped up to $80. And so that is now, you know, $60 right now for the 2100. So if you're, you know, we talk about this from time to time, that price fluctuation. If you're buying one or the other, make sure you're absolutely checking both. So that's the, you know, because they do fluctuate in price. I had just picked up three more 2005s for work. So we actually bought three. I had one shipped to Atlanta because they needed one. And then I bought two more while I was at it and had those shipped to me. I'm actually going to replace it in the studio. I like the black look with the black, you know, with the black arm, since they're basically the same microphone. So I'm going to swap that out in the studio and go all black in that. And push that other one downstream out to guests and such. But yeah, it's one of those things. Make sure you're checking on Amazon before you purchase.
And apparently in the chat room, we have a number of people that have an Echo and all are giving thumbs up.
Gigantic wife acceptance factor. It is huge. We talk about that a lot on my tech show because it's all guys, right? And so we talk about when you buy technology and you get this wife acceptance factor. And, you know, most things don't get it, right? We jam technology. It's like most of our wives don't really get podcasting. Some do, but then whatever. And so we bring home new technology and then we're like, hey, and they're like, we're never going to use this ever. I don't care how often you tell me this is cool. The Echo has amazing. I mean, it is my wife enjoys that Echo. I mean, she uses it more than I do.
So here's a message from SpeakPipe.
Hello, David, and hello, Jim. This is Brian from Australia, and my question to you guys is, I'm curious and I need to know what types and how many cables do I need to set up the Q802 USB Behringer mixer and to be able to record with the Zoom H5 for general podcasting and also for podcast interviews using Skype or tools such as that. Can you give us some ideas there? Because just putting it all together and knowing the cables, what I really need to order, it'd be very helpful. So thanks again, Dave and Jim.
See, that sounded awesome.
Yeah, that did sound good. Yeah. Maybe that's the way to do it, is just to have them call in on SpeakPipe.
In the future.
It's a lot easier that way.
That's true.
So he's looking at the Q802, which is a USB mixer. It's got two XLRs.
And he's talking about sending it out to a portable recorder.
Right.
And what I usually tell people is either A, get a, this is an RCA to eighth inch, I believe, or 0.35 millimeter cable. And this can go right into the line out into, and so whatever you hear in the mixer is going to go into your recorder. Or if you want, you can get little adapters like these that make it quarter inch to eighth inch. And that's basically how I'm playing my phone today, is I basically plug that. Now here I'm putting things into the mixer. You can also use it to go out of the mixer. And then, you know, it's weird because I'm sitting here with the Behringer 1832 USB. I don't have a plugged in USB. I've never plugged in a USB. I should, just for giggles, just to see what it's like. But that would be, for me, if you're, because the big question there was, how do I plug it into a recorder? And I would just say one of these, a little, you know, eighth inch to go to the line in of your recorder. And then either use the line out or the main out with a quarter inch option. So,
yep, that's the easiest way. Yeah. There's other ways, but that's the easiest way. Then you'd monitor that through the phone jack. So you would plug that in, set headphones, and you would hear your whole mix that's going into the recorder. You do get some advanced control. One of the things, I mean, you could come out of the mains too. You could use that same contraption, but just get quarter inch to the RCA adapters that come with it, and then you could come out of your main jacks as well, because you're not really doing anything with main at that point. And then the main, you're getting the full control that you would get on the mains, right? And you're not running any effects or anything with this, so it doesn't really matter. But then your main knob, you can also control the volume, the amount of volume that's going to the recorder using your mains. So that's not a bad way to that's what I actually do with I've got the Mackie. I get that Mackie 12 channel, the FX12. And that's what I use. I come out of my mains as opposed to coming out of the line out. I don't think – maybe for a pure sound guy, that would make a difference. But for me, I just prefer to control it with the main, you know, coming main out.
Yep, that's me too. I've had, I don't know if it's still this way, but in the past, I've had people with USB mixers, and they're going into Audacity, and they, like, it wasn't giving them, like, enough signal out. Like, the USB out was kind of a low level, and they ended up just, you know, going analog, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Jeff had a question in chat. He said he tried to call. I recorded an interview in a small apartment with a loud window air conditioner. I used two ATR 2005s into a Zoom H5 with a 98 hertz low cut. It really helped the audio. How can I go on the low cut filter without messing up the voices? Well, this is one of those kinds of things that if you're in an airport, you're not going to cut out the airport sound, right? If you're at a concert, right, you're not going to cut out the audience noise. There are some tricks you can do, but everything, every effect you put in place to cut out the background noise is going to cover frequencies in most cases that are covered by the voice. So you're not going to do it. You can't effectively remove that. Some people say, well, put a gate. Well, you're still going to hear that air conditioner in the
background. When you talk,
When you're talking, right? Yeah. So you can overcome it. And there's tricks you can do to kind of make it better. That's what you're trying to do there. There's some effects you can do to make it better. But the best thing is, don't be in the room with the air conditioner. I mean,
that's just, it. Turn it off, baby. I remember artists sweat for their art.
I know. Yeah. So, garbage in, garbage out. That's just the way it is. I hate to be that way, but don't compensate for background noise with effects. You're just always going to have a little bit of, in some cases a lot, in some cases a little bit. You're going to affect your vocals in almost any changes you make, unless you're a wizard, right? And there are those out there that are wizards. So I'm not one of them. But it's just the way that goes on it.
I'm going to try another little troubleshooting thing. I'm going to try to play. I played something in Spreaker from SpeakPipe. So it's not the Mac. It's Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
If you think about it. So here, just to give an example, this is something. This came in from John. I believe his last name is just pronounced Sarpolis. But here's an example of, I think, not great audio from.
Hi, Dave. This is John Sarpolis, host of the Commonwealthy Podcast. We train those who understand the benefits of limited government how to win a local election. But there wouldn't be a Commonwealthy Podcast if it wasn't for you and the School of Podcasting. I spent about 6 months looking around at different websites.
So you get the idea. Yeah. Very nice of him, by the way, John. But it was, I wish there was like some sort of auto gain. Because anytime I do a speak pipe for somebody, I always see it. They have these little green lights that do that. And, you know, that's kind of how I know, but there's no like peak light. And so I usually kind of see that and then just back off. And then, you know, it is what it is. It's still better than, you know, if you called into the voicemail line, those always sound like caca, when you do that. But, you know, it's still better than nothing. And you can actually get a SpeakPipe account for free. I think the limit is you can only leave a message for 90 seconds under the free account, something of that nature. But, so
Well, there are some tricks, you know, when we think about the frequencies, and an air conditioner would generally come in at a very low frequency. And so if you can drop a lot of that low frequency out, now you're going to lose a lot of the bass that you're getting from your, you know, from the audio. But sometimes you can kind of isolate that frequency and pull it. What you know, you've pulled too much when it starts sounding like you're underwater. That's the
that's the piece that it gets.
Yeah. You know, the other recommendation is there in chat. You know, Audiophonic is, it would be a good way. I mean, there's, they've got a lot of wizardry going on inside of what they're doing when they're trying, when they're cleaning some stuff up. So that might be worth a try too. So David says, I have three hosts, all remote for post-production. Is it better to have them record locally to their own machines and send me it via Google Drive for post work, or pipe it all into one track via my mixer here? Well, you're not going to pipe it into the mixer like you would think. You know, it's going to come in via USB. You're going to bring that in all remote. Whatever your mixer's hearing, then you're going to record it, and it's going to be single track. You know, when we think about your best possible audio is where that audio that's closest to your guest. So if you want best, yes, record them, have them all record locally. You know, do a clap in the beginning or a snap or a whatever it takes to get, you know, do a countdown, whatever it takes so you can sync those files up. But that double ender, triple ender, whatever you want to call it on that, your best chance of the best possible audio from them is doing a double or triple ender, whatever, in that case. If you're going to bring them all in, you're going to sound great, but they're going to be degraded because they're coming across Skype or a Google Hangout or one of those. Dave, one of the things I've discovered, speaking of Google Hangouts, one of the things I've discovered recently is when you are recording a Google Hangout, it takes a different protocol, and that protocol does not have as good of audio quality. It's compressed. It's heavily compressed.
Right.
And you're recording the Hangout. As soon as you kick off the recording, all of a sudden the audio becomes magical. It's crazy. You switch, you like switch protocols, and it's clear. It's like Skype. It's crystal clear. And so I'm kind of thinking these days, I'm like, I've been recommending Skype for anybody who wants to do audio only for the most part,
right,
in a non-complicated setup. Use Skype. It's just got the best audio quality, bringing everybody in. That's what I've been recording when I'm doing my podcast consulting work. I use Skype to record the audio for everybody when I bring them in. But Google Hangouts in a non-recording, you know, where you're not broadcasting it, is getting, I don't know if it's just as good or as good or whatever, but it sure sounds really good. And so I'm going to kind of test around with Google Hangouts in just in video mode without recording, and then do some recording. You know, I do a broadcast server kind of concept and do some recording that way to make it work. So there, Google is continuing to push the quality of a Hangouts, but honestly, no, David, I think the answer to your question is if you can do a mix, I mean, if you can do a double ender, that's going to give you the best quality. Yeah, that sounded good. And this is working in chat too. David follows up and says, outside of a good mic, adequate mixer, and headphones, what would the next piece of equipment you would buy to improve all out sound quality of your podcast? So outside of a mixer, headphones, microphone, what else do you get, Dave? What's another piece of equipment you recommend once you've got all of those?
The fun thing about equipment is there is no one size fits all. Because I could say I really love my DBX 286, and I think you'd have to get an S. I have a 286A. It's an SX version too, right? Yeah. It's a mic preamp. It's got a little bass boost. It's got a little treble boost. It's a noise gate. So I love it, and that's why I'm able to kind of move around here, and the volume doesn't change a whole lot because it's compressing it. So I love that. But to say get that, well, what if I have multiple co-hosts? Well, now you got the thing that's kind of bad about this is it's one channel, one mic. And it wouldn't make much sense to run a gate through the whole mixer because that's not going to work. But yeah, I would say a compressor, limiter, gate. But I would also ask my audience, how's the quality of my audio would be one. And number two, you know, what kind of feedback are you getting? Do you have an engaged audience? Because I hear so many people that want to blame the lack of engagement on poor audio quality. And I'm like, in some cases, you know, maybe it's not the sound quality, it's the content. I'm actually doing a thing for the School of Podcasting. We mentioned this last week. and what are the always questions that people always ask? And the question is always, you know, how many downloads should I have? And that is another question that's like, okay. And I came up with this little, I said, take the value you provide in your episodes and multiply that by the effort you put forth to promote it. And that's how many downloads you should have. Because if you could have the best, like, oh my gosh, life-changing content, but if you don't tell anybody about it, that's going to grow really kind of slow. Or if you have, you know, okay content, but you promote the crap out of it, well, that's not going to grow as fast either. And so now I can say you should have somewhere between 10, which is my test from last week from the worst podcast ever, somewhere between 10. And then Rob says that 50% of podcasters have below 200 episodes and 50% have over 200 episodes. So I looked at our stuff. And this is why I don't quit this show and I never do it, is the Jillian Michaels fan cast is averaging 2,000 downloads an episode. And it's not Jillian Michaels. It's me talking about Jillian Michaels. And on occasion, that will bring in a nice little affiliate check. Building a Better Dave is another podcast that I've pretty much abandoned, but I do every now and then. Gets about 300 downloads. The Marketing Musician, which used to back in the day get like 2,000 downloads because I've basically just abandoned it, gets about 600 downloads an episode. Weekly Web Tools gets about 325. Feeding My Faith, which is another one that's on and off, gets about 150. The Worst Podcast Ever gets about 10 per episode. The School of Podcasting is all over the place. That's the one I was looking at. I mean, it's anywhere from 1,500 to like almost 3,000. It kind of depends on what the topic is. So I just picked it in the middle and said 1,600. And this show, I'm surprised, doesn't get more downloads. This one gets about 300. But on the other hand, I don't talk about it as much. I do, and I always tweet it and promote it, but I don't spend a lot of time promoting the show. And I went, okay, if I'm going to follow my own advice, I don't spend enough time promoting this. So maybe I should be playing clips of this in the School of Podcasting to bring some of that audience over. I'm not really sure, but
I think some people don't know they can listen to it. I mean, they think it's a Saturday morning call-in. Like, yeah, it's live. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And they might think, you know, and sometimes it just takes time to grow. Just because you have an established audience doesn't mean you start a new show. We have Home Gadget Geeks does 2,000, let's say. We're probably at that between all of our channels. And then we started a new one called Cyber Frontiers, incredibly geeky, big data, cybersecurity type stuff. It's ranging in the 300 to 500, right? And it's, we've been going on for a year. We have we just recorded our 23rd episode, but we've been going for a year. So you can kind of, yeah, a little more than that. You can kind of tell we don't get them, you know, we don't do it as often as, actually 2 years. We don't get them in as often as we should, about one a month. But just because, you know, I thought, wow, man, I'll pick up maybe a quarter. Well, I guess I'm pretty close to a quarter of that, but you'd think you'd get more, right? You think at least they'd try it out. And it did make New and Noteworthy, and I got a big bump on that. Those went from maybe the the video. What's been surprising about this is the video small to this show does incredibly well. Mm-hmm. And it hit New and Noteworthy, and it went from 100 to 2,000. 3,000 was the max that it hit. Now it's gone back down to about 200. So, you know, it's one of those kinds of things where I got my New and Noteworthy bump on it, which, by the way, it wasn't new. It was noteworthy, right? And I know we keep it gets a dead horse. We keep kicking that thing to death.
Yeah, somebody, I forget who it was, sent me another podcast, like Game of Thrones or something like that, that was an old podcast, and they're back in New and Noteworthy, and it's obviously it's longer than 8 weeks. So
yeah, Craig says this show is very niche-y, and it is. Yeah. It is. It's a call-in show, and you know, it's like this. We're having problems with Blog Talk Radio and getting the calls in. You guys are, you know.
Yeah. I was listening to last week's show, or the 11th show, is when this problem really started happening. I try to edit out the part where we're going, is the caller there? And I'm like, man, that's
15 minutes worth of material you cut out.
Yeah, right? I was like, that was not engaging content. But the thing I wanted to point out there is, you know, here you see downloads are all over the place, and so is equipment. You know, to me, I would say, I know somebody in the chat room said room treatment, and there are those podcasts that I listen to where, you know, if I were to shut this off so I have no gate, and I'll turn on my microphone, and there's just a ton of room noise, you know. You know, and it just sounds like, and I'm like, and it's worse than that. It's just, you know, it just sounds like they're in a, you know, they're just, And
yeah, we have that problem. We have a room in Singapore that when I do my podcast out of Singapore, and it's so hard. The walls are so hard, and I can't get the mic close enough to them. And and this is the other thing. I get guests all the time. I'm looking around for a microphone. At work, I've got three microphones on my desk, and I don't have any here. But at the guest, so we'll get them on, and I'm like, they'll first join the call, and they sound like you just sounded, really echoey and far away. And I'm like, where's the microphone? And like, oh, just a second. And they got a ring. I'm like, what are you doing? I don't say this. Yeah. But I'm like, what are you doing putting that? Well, I didn't want it too close. Too close. I'm like, put it right in front of you. And they'll set it down like this, like out here. And I'm like, no, in front of you. And I literally have to say, I want it as close to you as we can possibly get it, because I'll get the best sound from you that way. But oftentimes guests are intimidated by the microphone.
The
microphone by itself intimidates them. And so they want to they think, oh, I'm going to sound too loud. No. It'll adjust. You'll sound fine. Get that thing. I almost want to have them just hold it.
Go Ray Ortega on it, man. Just hold that baby.
I know. You're like, just get that up. So, but I do agree, the sound treatments in the room, they can make a big difference. I'm in a very soft room. I mean, I have a lot of softness around me, even though behind me it's not. Everything in front of me is. And that just keeps the echoing down. I also get very close to the microphone, which you do too, right? It's about mic technique. If you want, somebody asked, how do I get that Joe Rogan? Is it Rogan? Is that how he pronounced his name?
I think so, yeah.
How do I get Joe Rogan quality, right? Joe Rogan spends thousands of dollars, thousands, on his equipment and his producers, and he pays people to make it happen that way. That's how he does it, right? So are you going to do that? Probably not, just to be honest. If you're 99% of the podcasters, you struggle to spend, $5 on web hosting. You're not going to get it. So don't try. Don't set that as a standard, because you're not going to make it there. If you want to get there, you have to spend a bunch of money to get it there. I mean, these guys have great equipment and they have pros running the sound.
Yeah. We're talking about the 286. So this is me without the 286. And so I can't in my headphones, but I can hear the fan of the computer on the floor. And if I, move things around on the desk, you're going to pick up everything. But now if I turn it on, number one, I've got that cool, a little bit of a thing there. And if it's still going to pick that up. But I can definitely do this, where if this was off and I move away from the mic, it's really, and I'm talking here. But if I turn this on, now I can kind of move around and it keeps it up. So I that's one of my, if the
what is that piece of equipment?
This is the DBX 286. It would be an S, I think, these days. I've got a link over, of course, at bestpodcastinggear.com if you look at the compressors and gates.
$180, something like that.
Yeah. So it's that's one of those, if the house is on fire, what equipment do I grab? I'm going to try to balance that one on my head.
No, just get out of the building. We want you. don't go after sound equipment. We want you out of the building.
And you're talking about, the Joe Rogans of the world and things like that. Did you hear do you listen to Startup at all?
No.
Okay. Nope. Startup is the whole Alex Bloomberg, Gimlet Media, things like that. Number one, Gimlet Media is now, you can, they kind of did Patreon without Patreon. And here's the interesting thing about this. They have a thing now, because they explain how they're making $2 million this year in advertising, and they're spending $2 million on three shows, on Startup, Reply All, and the Mystery Show. And the Mystery Show, I've listened to two, and that, in my opinion, I am not their target audience. Man, is that like, wow, there's 30 minutes of my life I can't get back. They have 22 employees. I think, 19. Ira Glass has 22 employees. So I'm like, what are these guys doing? I mean, they've got, but on the other hand, they're flying all over the place to interview people and things like that. But I was like, holy cow. But what's interesting is making $2 million. But if you want, you can become a member of Gimlet Media. And I love this. For $5 a month, you'll get to preview the other shows they're thinking about putting out. And I'm like, and they made it really spin, like, you'll get to hear it before anybody else does and blah, blah, blah. And some of these shows change before they actually make it live. And I'm like, so wait a minute. I pay you $5 a month and I become your sounding board.
Beta tester.
Yeah, I'm a beta tester. I'm like, wow, what a great. He's getting paid to have a focus group. I'm like, that's a great move there. If you pay a year in advance, I think you get a T-shirt. But I was just like, 19 employees for two shows? I'm like, or three shows? I was like, but on the other hand, I didn't think I was going to like this this season of Startup because it wasn't about them anymore. It was about this dating site called Dating Ring. And so I just was like, 19 employees. Holy cow. But so if you're trying to get...
They got money. Yeah. You got money. You know, Dumas had money. I mean, it you're going to have to sink some in and then, you know, spend a ton of time. The chat room's talking about this now. There's a lot of great videos out there by pros that are, and you got to dig down and learn it yourself or pay somebody to do it, to get it done. You can do it. It's going to take an investment of time and money. I think in this case, I was having a conversation this week with another podcaster and they were kind of saying, boy, I really wish the podcasting, I mean, we like these 2100s, but I really wish the podcasting community would step up a level and go with more like what you have or a high LPR 40 in general. I mean, you know, spend a little bit more money. So there are those people who are feeling like, boy, we could spend a little more cash and get a little bit better quality. And that might help the podcasting community out in general. So,
yeah, I think it's one of those as more and more people get on board, you know, and more of these bigger companies are starting to come in. I don't know that they're spending thousands of dollars, but they're definitely using pro equipment. And, you know, because you can spend literally thousands of dollars on a microphone. So when you spend $300, it's like, you know, and it's, again, we were talking earlier, you know, I'll spend $65 to tune up my bike and I'll spend, you know, another $30 on a speedometer and you know, all of a sudden it's easy to blow $300-$400.
I spent $5 on coffee this morning.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like,
yeah. And so I looked it up, an Xbox. Where was that? That's part of Monday's show. An Xbox Live is, I think, $342. And that's without a game. That's just the Xbox and a 500 gig hard drive. And so I was looking at it because you can get, you know, a microphone, a stand, and a pop filter for $91. A mixer, if you need it, is $60. Libsyn is $20. We would say HostGator is $8. Artwork is $60. And $24 if you want an intro from Music Radio Creative. And again, you could make that with sounds from Audio Jungle and pay some guy on Fiverr to do that and save $10. But I didn't realize Music Radio Creative, $24 is a pretty big steal for them to make a jingle. But it's interesting because it is hard because we all have, you know, this whole, you know, you got to feed your kids, stupid kids eating.
I know.
You know, it's like doggone
it. If I could go back, no, I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't change it. you know, it's deciding what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and the investment you're going to make to get it done. And I think, you know, this is the question you've asked a bunch. And when we think about we sometimes can dig so hard into the hardware that we forget about, we still got to have great content on the backside.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just because you have great sounding audio doesn't mean people are just going to be like, whoa, this is the best thing I've ever heard because it sounds great. If you don't have great cadence, if you haven't worked on your, you know, your speaking, if you don't have a great intro, if you don't, right, all those things kind of matter in the experience of who your audience is. And so you got to work on all those things. You know, it's one of those. And then you have to be lucky to get, if you're getting, you know, depending to get picked up somewhere or to get the reach. I think, Dave, the reason why the number is 200, mm-hmm. right? That's the magic number is because that's the reach most of us have naturally.
Right.
Right. Family members, friends, social circles, Facebook, Twitter, right? I think all of us trying, if we create anything, I think we naturally have that circle of about 200 that we're going to get. Anybody who starts a podcast that has it's decent in any way is probably going to get to the 200, 300, or 400 category. That's pretty easy to do. Getting beyond that is like, how good are you at marketing, right? Or how good is your show at somebody picking it up for the first time and going, wow, I really have to listen to this. And then how big is your niche?
Right, and how easy is it to share? And that's why I was looking at my list of, you know, Ask the Podcast Coach, Building a Better Dave, Marketing Musician. These are shows I put out maybe once every 2 or 3 months, you know, Feeding My Faith. And I thought, you know, if I didn't do any of those, if I just did School of Podcasting and Ask the Podcast Coach, you know, how much better would those shows be? How much more time would I have to promote? You know, and that's where we were talking, I think in the Facebook group about, Joe Thomas, I think is his name. It's driving me nuts. He took my Podcasting in 6 Weeks course and he wanted to launch 2 podcasts. And I'm like, man, I'd really start with one. And he tried to, and he said, what I ended up doing was putting out 2 mediocre shows. He goes, I should have listened to Dave. And I'm like, nah, man, you gave it a shot, you know? But it is one of those things where I think a big part of, I'd like to look at, you know, some of the guys in the top 100 of iTunes and see like what their Twitter looks like, what their Facebook looks like, and see what they're doing in terms of promotion. Because I think sometimes that's the piece that misses. It's not enough to make good content. That is definitely step one, but then you got to go out and promote it.
It's the minimum.
Yeah. Right?
And then a lot of the big podcasts now already had a runway.
Yeah.
When they started. Right. And so it's, they were on TV. They were famous before. I mean, even Ira Glass had NPR behind him. Thousands of people listen to NPR on the radio.
Yeah.
And so you have this, when I started my podcast, when I started Home Gadget Geeks, which was Home Tech at the time, I had been on a podcast of 5,000. And so I had 5,000 potential tech guys. I knew if I started another tech podcast, I could probably pull some of them over. If I had started it on something else, chances are I probably wouldn't have. Going back to my point before, I started another tech podcast off of the one I have. It's only doing a quarter of what the original one did. That doesn't guarantee anything either. It all goes back to thinking about it and hustle, you know, from that standpoint of getting out there and figuring out how to find your audience. And I still think the key, we get too hung up in numbers and not in quality. And not quality of the podcast, but quality of the relationships. And I think it's super important that you find your first 15 most avid listeners and you pour 80% of your time into them. I think that pays off in numbers. And when I mean pour time into them, talk to them, email them, call them, talk to them on Skype, get some things going, get them involved in the community, give them stake in the community, right? Let them be a part of let them mod your Facebook group, right? Those kinds of things, give them buy-in. I think that matters. You want to grow your podcast? Start actually talking to people, really talking to people, not just talking to them through the podcast, but allowing them to talk to you. I'm always surprised, Dave, with my Gallup podcast, right? That's getting into thousands, right? It's super hyper niche, but we get 1,000 downloads every single week now for that podcast. When I talk to someone who's listened to the podcast, or they'll answer me a question in Facebook, and I'm like, hey, can I just call you?
Yeah.
Right? Can I just call you to get this and not go back and forth on Facebook? Amazing engagement happens at that point. For the first time I'll call them or video, they're like, I can't believe I'm talking to you. Right? This is amazing, right? To them, I'm just a guy on the microphone.
Yeah.
Call people directly, right? You want to grow your audience? Make one phone call. Make one Skype call. Make one Google Hangout with them. Talk with them for a few minutes one-on-one. Reach out to them, right? These groups are great, but you don't have to answer everything in the groups. Just say, hey, look, this is really complicated. Let me give you, can I just talk to you? Oh, that changes the equation. All of a sudden, you're a real person.
Yeah. I've had a guy, his name's Corey. He's sent me 2 emails and both required a really long response. And I just was like, hold on. And it's, you know, I picked up the bat phone and called him. And then he actually emailed me back and said, I think I have a business proposition for you. And so again, I was like, all right, now you got my attention. All right. And he was talking about doing a 1-day seminar. And here's the interesting thing. People apparently, this would be, I got to do this sometime in the future. Like, have my audience describe what they think, like, my life is. Because he was under the assumption I was making, you know, John Lee Dumas money with the School of Podcasting. And I'm like, no, no, and no. Because he wanted me to do a 1-day seminar at Podcast Pittsburgh. And I'm like, I'm not even sure I'm going to that yet. I want to go, but I haven't officially determined it. I said, number one, I said, usually people do things like that at Podcast Movement or at New Media Expo, where there's already a ton of people going. I said, PodCamp Pittsburgh, they'd either have to go Friday or, you know, Monday. And I said, people got to go to work, you know, and plus, I'm not expecting thousands of people at PodCamp Pittsburgh. From what I've seen of these 1-day events, they're getting around 100 people-ish, you know, and I was just like, and he's like, well, yeah, but Cliff charges $1,000 for his 1-day event. And I'm like, that's Cliff. I go, you know, I, but you know, I said, just the whole picture that he thought my life was, and he was talking about John Lee Dumas. And I did the same thing. I said, look, number one, I'm a big fan of John Lee Dumas. I think the guy's got huge talent. He's a great entrepreneur. And he also had six figures in the bank when he started. You know, that's a fact. Listen to Steve Stewart's interview with him. And I said, you know, I don't have six figures in the bank. So if I just take off and run and it fails, I can't go, that's all right. I'll just won't make my car payment this month or whatever. And so it was interesting hearing kind of what he thought I was doing. And I'm like, he's like, well, you're Dave Jackson. I'm like, yeah. And I explained to him that I actually like my day job most of the time. You know, I may quit in the future, but right now I'm, you know, it's paying the bills, and thank goodness, cause my mouth is costing me a fortune and I've got insurance, and, you know, cause now I went back and I got to get a crown over here and I got a cavity in the back. I swear I brush and floss, but, apparently not enough, but, I thought that was interesting.
We're getting old, Dave. That's the problem. We're just getting old.
But the thing that started off is I called him and he's like, I can't believe you just called me back again.
No, right on. That is an incredible. I mean, I cannot overemphasize what it means to the listeners when you talk to them personally. They like getting emails back from you. They'll even like talking to you, you know, in an IM. But man, if you take the time to just talk to them personally, It is incredible. We, you know, and I've talked to some higher profile people than me, yet because they hear me on the podcast every week, when they get a chance to hear me on that, they're like, because they listen to me in a one way only mode, right? Yeah. It's me talking to them. All of a sudden when they can ask me questions, you know, that was it's just a great way of doing it. So I think if you can, you know, if you make those, cause karma matters. I mean, I'm a big fan of that. Karma matters. If you are giving back to people that way, it will come back to you. And so create an avid or a rabid. I like the word rabid better than avid, but create a rabid fan and they will increase your, because they'll tell their friends and they'll tell other friends and they'll do stuff for you. That's how you grow your audience exponentially, is by getting other people to do it for you. The number one question we hear in the Facebook group all the time is, how do I use Facebook and Twitter? But you don't, right? No one grows their audience on Twitter, right? I mean, maybe.
Oh.
But it's reaching out to people. It's making that connection to them that grows your audience.
Yeah, it's the only people that grow their audience grow it artificially.
Well, right. Yeah. I guess that was a little, I was trying to poke fun and it didn't really go where I wanted to.
But it is. It's the truth. Right? Yeah. Ask yourself this question. When was the last time that you subscribed to a podcast that you discovered on Twitter?
I never.
Yeah. Never. Zero. Never.
I've never done
Facebook.
That, yeah.
Nope. Sorry. The thing that's driving me nuts with Facebook is the whole autoplay video thing. And everybody's posting videos, which I saw one thing that was cool. There's this new bicycle wheel that has a battery in it and it makes your bike electric and you can go longer. Other than that, all the videos have been just, you know, pull my finger and, you know, that kind of. Facebook is fun, but I've never discovered a podcast on Facebook. If I'm looking for a podcast, this is how I discover a podcast. Either A, go to Google and I type in blah, blah, blah subject podcast and then, you know, go from there. Or I go into iTunes and I go blah, blah, blah podcast, enter, and then I click around. And then from there, I look to see, you know, what does it sound like? When was the last episode? And even if it's pod faded, I'll still listen. It might be good, depending on if it's evergreen content. But that's how I find podcasts. And here's the interesting thing. I'm finding myself starting to unsubscribe from podcasts because I'm getting the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's weird. Like, Jay Moore, I love Jay Moore. I think he's funny. He's a good comedian. He's interviewing kind of the same old people, which at first was cool because it was Jay and he's kind of a funny guy, but his show hasn't changed at all. So on one hand, the thing that got me in 2 years later is kind of like, it's the same old. So I don't know.
Well, we grow, right? Yeah. We grow and we change and things change and you need to change, right? It's one of those kinds of things. You made a comment a couple shows ago about just because it's, it had to do with live audio.
Yeah, just because it's a real person doesn't mean it's really interesting.
Yeah, and just because you're a real host doesn't mean you're really interesting either, right? This is the backside of everybody podcasting. It's not everybody's good at it. And so, you know, it's one of those kinds of things. I was listening to a newer podcaster this week and the just really struggling to get through the opening credits and those pieces and, you know, a lot of there was a lot of behind the scenes inside baseball that was left in the podcast. Like, we don't need to know that some of that stuff. We don't want to know, especially if it's a solo cast where, you know, you've got post-production time. Cut some of that. So we don't need to know what's going on behind the scenes. Cut some of that stuff out. It just because it's real, like you said, doesn't mean it's really interesting. And so not all real stuff should be left in. So, you know, from that stuff, it's not necessarily just because you want to do it doesn't mean you're really good at it. And so some of us really need to work at it. I do this all the time. You know, you said to me the little phrases that we have, right? We were talking about, and you say, the one you say is, well, what do you say all the time when you're?
There you go.
Well, there you go. What I found, so you asked me, like, so what do you do? And I was like, what do I do? So I've been listening to myself for that. I stop myself in mid-sentence and start another one without finishing the sentence that I'd started, right?
Guilty.
I'll be in the middle of a conversation. I'll just cut it off and start with the next one. And I'm like, wow, I had a thought there, Jim. Slow down and finish your sentence, right? You got to get better at it. This is a skill and a talent, but it's mostly a skill. And I think people have to work on their presence and their cadence and all those things necessary to make this successful.
One of the things that I've been doing and I need to do more of is I will listen to my show 3 or 4 days after I put it out. And so I'm listening to last week's show, which was this crazy, wacky show that I haven't done in a while. And the whole idea was there are so many different ways you can produce a podcast. So I had the sportscaster guy and this and that. And I made this whole little skit about this thing called the Stylizer 3000 that you plugged in. And I listened to it back and I go, I never tied that skit into the topic. It's just, here's Dave. And all of a sudden he's talking in weird voices. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, it's like, I should have, I at the end of that. And I had some guy, I was worried about it. Cause I'm like, if this is the first time these people tune in, they're going to go, what the heck am I listening to? And I had some guy said, hey, you lost me at the monster truck rally. Cause that was like 3 minutes long and it had me laughing. So I left it in. But the whole time I was like, this is, you know, I've gone out there. This is way out there. And then I didn't tie it into, oh, by the way, you know, you can do things in a character and this, but I'm like, that was just kind of like Dave being weird for 3 minutes at the beginning of a show. And I'm like,
or super sarcastic.
Yeah. Right? Or super sarcastic.
It was super sarcastic at moments of kind of picking fun of the various hosts that are out there.
Yeah. Well, I think my favorite line was where Darth Vader said, I need a mint. I was like, that was, every time I heard that made me laugh. I'm like, all right, that's staying in there. So, it was one of those where I was like, I didn't do a very good job of setting that up or explaining what the heck you just listened to or why did I do that besides it's fun to waste 4 hours making a 4 minute clip.
It was super creative though. Yeah. It was super creative. I mean, I loved it. That's one of those things that just makes you laugh, right?
Right.
I laughed my whole way. I was listening to that on the way in and I laughed my way. It was a Monday morning all the way into work, you know, so good work.
The funny thing is it probably took, I forget how many hours. It was 3 or 4 or 2. It was a lot. And I swear, once it was done, I spent another, like, I don't know, 15 minutes listening to it over and over and analyzing it to death. I was like, so, yeah. Patrick said, I also almost peed with a mint comment. Okay, well, that's the one that made me laugh every time. So, but, go ahead.
Yeah. Chris had asked me to talk a little bit about, and I always get the name of this thing wrong. So let me make sure. Let me go back up to his comment here and find that. But voice meter. And, and let's save that for next week's show.
Okay.
So I'll bring that back a little bit and talk about the benefits of voice meter because we talked about it a couple weeks ago. He says it's underrepresented and it's a really great tool. And I can't disagree with him. I think no matter what you're doing, you can use voice meter in certain circumstances to get your own virtual mix minus, which is pretty cool.
So. You have to see, is that anything you could do like a screen share of? I mean, it's an audio podcast, but maybe that's something we could,
play with. It's super simple. Super simple. So maybe we could bring that in. Maybe we'll remote out to my broadcast server on Azure. And I was also listening to last week's show. The other thing I need to do is do a setup where we talk about how to set up your WordPress site on Azure and how cheap it is and affordable and how easy it is. Maybe walk through that during the show.
Yeah, because you do talk about that, and I'm always like trying to picture in my head, and I'm like,
it's the best. I think it's Microsoft's best kept secret. They have a lot of secret great stuff, and Azure WordPress on Azure is just dynamite. And the thing is it's just a couple clicks, and you're in, and then it's a WordPress instance. And if your podcast got popular, and you needed more traffic, you can just up your server and buy a little bit more each month. I think. You know, I may be up to a couple bucks a month for my server that on Azure. So if you go to validatemyfee.com, or if you go out to my new site, knowitguy.com, either one of those are running on Azure right now. And they're in the shared hosting free setup. It just works. So you, maybe we'll talk about that more.
You're now the Knowit Guy?
I bought knowitguy.com.
There you go.
Because I have these Knowit guides. So G-U-Y-D-E, we call them Knowit guides. And I set one up for Windows 10. I've set one up for the Amazon Echo. It's just a conglomerate of, you know, stuff I've found that is helpful to people. And I throw it in these Knowit guides. And it was designed for me so I could keep all my stuff in one place. And I thought, well, if I'm going to keep all my helpful links and stuff in one place, I might as well share them. So we created these Knowit guides. You can check that out. No, K-N-O-W-I-T. That's on purpose, right? Big IT, because I want it to be it and IT, because these are IT solutions. KnowItGuy.com. Check that out. That's running on Azure, by the way. So you can check that out speed-wise as well.
Awesome. And speaking of awesome, if you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome, you can be one of our awesome supporters. And thanks to everybody for that. And if you go to theschoolofpodcasting.com, use the coupon code ASK20 to save off of your first month and every month after that, for the record. We'll be here next week, bugless. I'm going to be troubleshooting this a lot this week to figure out what's going on. And we're here every Saturday, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Thanks, everybody.